Good morning. If you're just now joining us online, please let us know you are here by commenting below or filling out that attendance log. This morning, we are starting a new series on discipleship. And earlier this last week, we were talking about the Vacation Bible School decorations that you see here. And the theme for that was Discovery on Adventure Island. So we kind of have an island theme going on up here. But there were five words every day, five key themes. And those were love, trust, faith, joy, and hope. And so we decided instead of, well, Jacob asked me nicely, and we decided if instead of tearing all of this work down, if we could spend some time as a community really diving in to what each of these words mean. And the kids during Vacation Bible School had a text from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, which says, "Arise, shine, your light has come, the glory of the Lord has shone upon you." In the midst of a new season, as we embark on this season of fall, where we start a new school year, where we end kind of the summer season and begin anew, God is often, as in the change of any season, sometimes calling us into a new place, asking us to arise and shine, to continue to spread the light and love of God, which is exactly what it means to be a disciple, to follow the path of Jesus, and then to become an apostle by going out and making new disciples. And each of these five words, these five themes, are what we are called to emulate. It's part of our job in spreading the light of God to love God and neighbor, right? It's the greatest commandment that we were offered. To trust in God's plan for us, which sometimes is really, really hard, right? To have faith in God's love and power. To have joy, to rejoice in the things that God rejoices in. Sometimes it's difficult to rejoice. Anyone else have that struggle sometimes? Yeah, me too. And also to have hope that we will truly be reconciled back to God. That's what this whole book is about. Being reconciled back to God. Because from the very beginning of time, we hear in the story of creation that we fell away, right? The great fall. And over and over and over again, God tries different ways to bring us back. Until finally, he sent his son, Jesus, right? To die for us and to rise again, showing us the hope and promise of eternal life. So we're going to be looking at these five themes over the next several weeks, and we're going to be looking at kind of some characters from the Bible, so some different what I would call disciples, and they may not be who you would think I would pick. We're not going to talk about any of the 12 disciples that Jesus named, and we're not even really going to talk about very many folks from the New Testament. We're actually going to kind of look back at some of the characters in the Old Testament. And even though they weren't followers of Jesus per se, I still think we can look at their story and their example of what it means to be a follower of Christ and what it means to spread God's light and to go out as Jesus commanded us to make disciples in the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but being a disciple is sometimes really hard work. Anyone else think that sometimes? Heck, it's just hard to be a human sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to know where to go, where to turn, what's right, what's wrong, what the best choice to make is, right? Anyone else feel like their life is sometimes stuck between a rock and a hard place? They don't know what to do. what the right answer is, what the good solution is. How many of you have ever watched the show The Good Place? One. Okay, well, I'm going to spoil the show. Oh, you've watched it too? Okay. Sorry, I'm going to ruin the show for some of you if you ever plan to watch it. But there's this show on TV. It's called The Good Place. And in that show, Kristen Bell shows up. She wakes up, and she discovers she is in The Good Place, which is another name for heaven in the midst of this show. But as she goes on, things start to kind of turn. And she realizes, maybe this place isn't so good. After all, bad things keep happening. And the only people in the good place are people that are really, really good. And everyone else is in, well, the bad place. And she discovers that somehow she has been sent to the good place by mistake. Someone with her name who died in the same place. They grabbed the wrong soul. And so she starts to think, well, maybe it's my fault that things in heaven are starting to crumble around me. But then she realizes this isn't the good place at all. This is a trick. This is really the bad place. And that's kind of the end of season one. But as the show continues, one of the things that she discovers is nobody new has been sent to the good place for thousands of years. Every single person who has died has gone to the bad place. And the way they discover where you're going to go, you get a score. And every good thing you do, you get points. And every bad thing you do, you get points, right? That's not how this works in our time. But one of the things that they discover is almost every decision that we make sometimes has a negative consequence, right? From the things we buy to the places we go, even driving a car, right? All of these things can have negative consequences on people. And they kind of figure out it's really impossible to sometimes be a good human because every choice has a good side and a bad side. And I think that's true of life today. Every decision we make, we can weigh pros and cons, right? There is good and there is bad all at the same time. And it's hard to figure out what the heck is God calling me to do? Where is God calling me to go? And so we're going to read a story today. We are going to meet a woman whose name is Ruth. And she has a difficult choice to make. At the very beginning of the book of Ruth, it's very short. It comes right after the book of Judges. And the book of Judges doesn't end well. I think I've kind of talked about this before, but the very end of the book of Judges says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel, and all the people did what was right in their own eyes." Sometimes I think we live like that too, right? Everybody just does whatever they think is right. Versus living into that commandment to love God and to love neighbor. And so the beginning of Ruth starts off, it says, in the days when the judges ruled. So if you look back at that book right before, in the days where the judges ruled is when everybody's just doing whatever the heck they want to do. And then it says there was a famine in the land. So we start off the book of Ruth in a very bad place. This is not the best world that our characters are living in. And so we meet this woman, her name is Naomi. And it says that she was married to this guy, and she had two sons. So things are going not so great, right? The world around them isn't great, but she has her husband, she has her sons, and then suddenly her husband dies. So we have famine, the judges are ruling, death of a loved one. Things are starting to get worse for Naomi. But then it says her sons, they end up marrying two women, one named Orpah and one named Ruth. So they have a little bit of joy, right? There's a wedding, hopefully grandchildren, right? But then Naomi gets another blow. Her sons, both of them, die. So it's just Naomi and her two daughters-in-law. And so she decides, I need to go back to my own land. I can't stay here. I'm going to go back and get away. And so that's kind of where our text picks up for this morning. It says, then we're going to read from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 8 through 18. It says, but Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in your own house of your husband. Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, no, we will return with you and to your people. But Naomi said, no, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me. Then she wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, see, your sister-in-law, she has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said this, do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me and more as well, even if death parts me from you. When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. This is the word of God for the people of God. Naomi, not my Naomi, but the Naomi in the book of Ruth, has been running on empty. She is tired and worn out. She has dealt with a society where people are just doing whatever they think is right. There is a famine. She has lost her husband and her sons. And now she has to go and to be somewhere else. And so her two daughters-in-law, one of them decides to go back, to listen to her, to go back to her home, and there she can marry and have children, which in these days is really the only thing women could do, right? It was best for them to be married because that was the only way they could have any property or be taken care of, and it was best for them to bear children, to continue to carry on the family line. And so Naomi knows this, and so she tells her daughters-in-law, hey, you need to go back, you need to find a husband, you need to have children. But Ruth makes a different decision. Instead, she says those famous words, right, that we often hear at weddings. Do not press me to leave you. Where you will go, where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. If you read on in the text, though, Naomi doesn't necessarily respond to Ruth in the most positive way. She kind of shuts up, right? She's like, all right, Ruth, you're not going to listen to anything I say. Clearly, you have plans of your own. Just come on with me. So it says, Naomi returned with Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, and they came back from the country of Moab, and they were coming into Bethlehem, which is like a suburb of Jerusalem before Jerusalem ever existed. But it says when they get there, Naomi at the gates of the city. She says, "Don't call me Naomi." Now, if you know anything about the Hebrew language, Naomi means pleasant. She says, "No, don't call me Naomi. Instead, call me Mara." The names in the book of Ruth often have a lot of meaning. So if you ever want to look any of those up, they all mean something very important. But she says, "Don't call me pleasant. Instead, call me Mara," which means bitter. She says, "Because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. I went away from this place full. I went away from this place with a husband and two sons. But when I came back, I was empty." Naomi is struggling. Some of us feel like we are too running on empty, right? Maybe we don't live in famine. Maybe we have everything we need. Maybe we haven't had sudden loss in our immediate family and lost everyone. But we've all loved and lost. We all know what pain feels like. And sometimes we feel like God is just not on our side. God has dealt bitterly with us. And that is difficult. And I wonder how Ruth feels when she hears this. Because Ruth hasn't had the easiest time either, right? She's left her family to go marry this guy. And it's not like in today's world, right, where we like spend a long time dating and we get to know one another and we have lots of options and we choose the person we really love, right? Those magic moments in the movies where two people's eyes meet and they fall in love. This may have been some sort of arranged marriage or just kind of something she was forced into. So Ruth had to leave her home to marry this guy, and then suddenly her father-in-law dies. She's living in a world full of famine, and then her husband dies, and she's at a loss too. And the best choice for her would be to go back to her mother's house and find a new husband. But instead, she makes a choice. She makes a choice to stay with Naomi, her mother-in-law. Probably not a choice many of us would make, right? Spending the rest of our lives with our mothers-in-law. No, no one else. I thought it was funny. So this is the choice she makes, and how does Naomi respond? She's like, "I went away full and now I'm empty." And Ruth's like, "Whoa, you still have me, right?" Friends, often God is just like Ruth. God comes to us and says, "I'm going to go with you wherever you go. I'm going to be with you no matter what decision you make. I'm going to walk right alongside you." And sometimes we just have a bad attitude about it. Sometimes we forget that God is enough. But even when we turn away from God, God never turns away from us. God never abandons us. God says, "Wherever you go, I'm going to go right there with you." The path of discipleship is hard. Being a human is just hard. But the first thing that we have to remember when we start off on this path of discipleship is God is right there with us. God is guiding us and leading us, even in the midst of trial and uncertainty. Even when the worst possible thing could happen, when the world is going crazy, when the world has turned from God, when there is famine in the land, when all that we know and all that we have is lost and we have to go into a new and unfamiliar place, God is there with us too. So as we think about what it means to be a disciple, we have to start first knowing and believing in the love of God, that God too is there holding us. And we too are called to love like that. If we can't love like that, if we can't fulfill that greatest commandment to love God and to love our neighbor and to make choices not out of selfish ambition or conceit, to not do what is right in our own eyes, but truly to look at another person and say, how can I love you best? How can I support you and guide you and protect you? If we're not asking ourselves that question, we can't be a very good disciple. Because that's where we have to start before we can take any other step. So let's practice loving like God loves. And know that wherever we go, God is there with us. Let's pray. Oh God, we give you thanks for this story in the book of Ruth. God, that even in the midst of trouble and uncertainty, God, that you are there with us. That you will guide us, you will embrace us, and you will love us. God, give us that same courage to love those even if they feel unlovable. God, because they are your beloved children. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.